So before we get into this month's episode, I wanted to take a minute and talk about some of the news that's been going on in the Star Wars fandom. So Sarah, have you heard anything about what's been going on with Mar Wars?
I have not.
Okay, so this happened, I think, 2 weeks ago at this point. It was the same weekend as Dragon Con. A girl decided to watch the Star Wars saga for the first time, and she live tweeted the entire thing. Like, she watched 9 movies, like, over the course of the weekend, and live tweeted everything about it.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of incredible to watch this go down, especially because her reactions to everything were just fucking amazing. She, like, nicknamed all of the characters. Like, Yoda was Stringbean, and I believe Palpatine was Wrinkled Ass Raisin, and then Snoke was Wrinkled Ass Prune. And I think her sequel trilogy nicknames were the best. She had Sunflower was Rey.
Okay.
Can't remember what Finn was at the moment, but Rose was Cinnamon Roll. Poe was Hot Man Running.
That makes sense.
And Kylo Ren started out as Breathtaker 2.0 because Darth Vader was Breathtaker.
Okay.
And by The Last Jedi had turned into Baby Boy.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, this is like taken like the Twitter Star Wars fandom by storm. Like, people have been like retweeting Mar like crazy. She got a shout out on the Star Wars show, and I was thinking about just like how people are reacting to this, and I really think that like the reason why it's kind of captured everyone is, have you ever like sat somebody down to watch Star Wars for the first time, like somebody who hasn't seen it?
Not exactly, no. I mean, I've sat people down for individual movies, yeah. But not...
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I find, like, if there's a movie, like, you're super passionate about, and Star Wars fans are, you know, very passionate, if they haven't seen it, you're, like, almost more interested in watching them than you are the movie.
Yes. No, definitely.
Yeah. It's like, oh my god, how are they going to react to this? Oh my god, what's going to happen? And that's kind of what happened with Mar, where it's, like, she had not seen the movies, and then... It just captured everyone, and while mostly it went down very well, then there was, of course, Star Wars fandom has to ruin a good thing, because there have been some negative reactions to it. A lot of hardcore fans have been like, well, why is she getting the attention? You know, she just became a fan, like, 2 seconds ago. You know, very mad that, like, the Star Wars Twitter account shouted her out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially unhappy about the fact that she's a Reylo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's been facing a lot of it's kind of like, I have a lot of friends who are Reylos and have seen all of the crap that they have gone through. She's been doing the entire Reylo experience on fast forward.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. So she's been having it really rough as of late. Because she got so much attention so fast. But we here at the Trash Compactor just want to show her nothing but love, because honestly, I was riveted to what was going on. I loved seeing somebody fall in love with these movies.
I wish I had known it was happening. That would have been amazing to watch go down in real time.
Yeah. I will send you a link to her threads, because even if they're not like going on live, it's still really fun to watch her going from A New Hope all the way up to, I believe she's actually watching Solo right now. Like, she watched part of it and then had to stop, and she's going to be going back to it. So she's not quite done yet.
Okay. And she watched them in release order?
She did watch them in release order, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And actually, she was having technical difficulties during The Last Jedi. I guess her internet kept on cutting out, and so she couldn't watch the movie, and Rian Johnson was paying attention to it, and so he's just like, I'm gonna, like, send you a copy of the Blu-ray, like, right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it was really kind of, like, this, it was that situation where it's, like, you know, somebody's sitting down to watch a movie for the first time, and you're watching them rather than the movie. That's the Star Wars Twitter just kind of gathered around her, and it's, like, so... So where are you now? Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. Anyways, so I just wanted to talk about that for a little bit. Well, it was still relevant, and she's actually going to be turning up on a lot of the other Star Wars podcasts, but we thought we'd talk about her just a little bit. So now let's get into talking about some other people's first Star Wars experiences with the prequels.
Into the garbage, you fly boy!
This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
Hi, and welcome to this month's Trash Compactor podcast, Star Wars from a Certain Point of View. I'm MC, and I'm here with...
I'm Sarah.
So, it is the 20th anniversary of The Phantom Menace. Holy cow. Well, it was the 20th anniversary back in May. We're a little behind on things. Sorry, it's my fault. I decided to go off to university, so things have been a little behind.
Excuses. Come on. At least say you went to Naboo or something.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. I was making deals between the Naboo and the Trade Federation. But yes, the 20th anniversary, and I cannot believe it that it's been 20 years already. I remember when it was the 20th anniversary of A New Hope. So,
yeah, me too. I remember going to the theaters to see the re-releases.
And I also remember seeing The Phantom Menace for the first time. Lining up. I did not line up for, you know, back in those, there were people who were lined up for weeks, like in front of like the theater in LA.
Yeah.
I only lined up for a couple of hours because I live in a very small town and we have a very small theater.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I saw Phantom Menace.
Ah.
And I know where I saw Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. I have no memory. I know I saw Phantom Menace in the theater. Okay. I'm 100% sure of that. I don't remember where.
Yeah, I remember I saw Phantom Menace a couple of times. The first time I lined up a long time. And the second time I had, let's just say, indulged in substances that one indulges in when they're 17 years old. And sat in the front row, and that made the pod race really, really cool.
Oh, I can only imagine. I was a very boring, 17-year-old. And I might have indulged in substances for the second two.
Oh.
Second two of three. But I was definitely sober.
Okay.
For the first one, but which might have been a mistake at that point in time.
What we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about not just The Phantom Menace. We're going to talk about all of the prequels because they all kind of get put together. And one thing we noticed going to Star Wars Celebration this year, where they did have a big 20th anniversary celebration for The Phantom Menace, is that opinions have started to turn a little bit on the prequels. For the longest time, the prequels were just, you were not allowed to say anything good about the prequels.
No, they were the most derided movies.
They were. They definitely were. Especially the first one. Sometimes you can find people who will say nice things about the third one, but the first and the second, just, you never hear anything good about them.
No, see, I never hated the Phantom Menace as much as everyone else seemed to. I didn't love it, and it was definitely the beginning of my falling away from Star Wars. But I never hated it. I just kind of was bored with it at the time, I think.
When it first came out, I actually really enjoyed it. I was deep, deep, deep in my Star Wars obsession at the time. I remember actually very clearly that The Phantom Menace helped inspire the fanfic that I was working on at the time. I had been working on it for a couple of years, and after seeing The Phantom Menace, suddenly a bunch of stuff made sense that had not previously. I mean, the fanfiction is terrible, and I hope to God I've, like, deleted all copies of it from the internet.
Scrub the internet.
Yes. Just nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Nothing's ever really gone.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But, yeah, so I really enjoyed. I enjoyed, specifically, I enjoyed Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. That's what I was there for. Well, I kind of put on the airs that I hated it, kind of when it became, like, super popular to bash on the prequels. I was always like, oh yeah, those totally suck. But I don't know how much it was actually me thinking that I hated it, or how much it was just me going along with kind of the, you know, crowd.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
What, that I would be so weak that I would give in to peer pressure and hate it?
That was the thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we were both, I was in high school.
As was I.
And you didn't want to be, it was bad enough being a nerd. You didn't want to be the nerd that liked the thing that everyone else hated.
Yeah, because, like, the nerdy people that I hung out with online, they hated it. And so it's like, if I can't even fit in with the outcast nerds, like, who am I going to fit in with?
Right. I mean, it wasn't until the past few years, really, for me, that I was confident enough in my geekiness to admit liking things that no one else did.
I get that, yeah. Yeah, as we said, that at Star Wars Celebration, it does seem like things have changed. So why do we think things have changed in favor of the prequels?
I think part of it is time.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's nostalgia.
Yes.
And part of it is the viciousness that the internet seems to be giving the sequel trilogy. And everyone is going back to the times when it was less angry.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened to me. I mean, I know you are involved in online fandom for the sequels right now.
Yes, I am.
I essentially refuse to speak about them on the internet.
Fair enough, yeah.
And that's because not to offend anyone, because I'm really not trying to. But there is a lot of anger is one word, but it's not the word I'm trying to come up with.
I feel like, I mean, it probably applies to every single fandom, but let's stick to Star Wars because that's what we're good at.
Right.
But Star Wars fans always need to have something to hate.
Yes.
Before we had the prequels, everyone bashed on Return of the Jedi. It's like, oh, it's just a bunch of Muppets. The Ewoks are stupid. You know, why did they have a second Death Star? I've always loved Return of the Jedi. It was the one that I grew up on the most because I think it was best one for little kids to watch.
I didn't realize until a relatively recent rewatch, say that three times fast, that I think Return of the Jedi was the first Star Wars movie I saw.
Going back, it's the one that I have the most memories of when I was a kid. So
yeah,
it was the first
absolutely.
One I saw.
Yeah. I remember the Ewoks. I remember Han being rescued. I remember Jabba's barge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for years, Return of the Jedi was the movie that earned everybody's ire. Then mm-hmm. comes The Phantom Menace, and all of a sudden, the prequels are what everybody hates. It took a while to actually build it up. Like, The Phantom Menace actually got fairly good reviews when it came out. Not just from critics, but from fans. Like, fans were just super excited to have a new Star Wars movie. And then later on, kind of around the time it came out on video, because back in those days it was video, mm-hmm. people started realizing, oh, this isn't as good as I thought it was. And it really kind of kicked into gear when Attack of the Clones came out. And people didn't like Attack of the Clones either, which when the Attack of the Clones came out, I was like, well, it's better than The Phantom Menace, but a lot of people disagreed with me on that.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I don't have very clear memories of seeing Phantom Menace, but I definitely liked it better than Attack of the Clones.
I think I liked the idea of Attack of the Clones
more. Okay.
I don't know if I actually like the movie. I mean, looking back on it, I do think that it is one of the weaker of the movies.
I think Phantom Menace has one of my favorite characters. I love Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon is
fantastic. I really
fantastic.
Wanted to say Jar Jar for that, but I can't lie that much.
Yeah.
I don't mind Jar Jar, but I love Qui-Gon.
And I will forever give The Phantom Menace this, and I mentioned this when we did the Building a Better Prequels podcast. The Phantom Menace has one of the best lightsaber battles in Star Wars history.
Yeah, really does.
I think Duel of the Fates, there is only one lightsaber fight that might possibly compare to it, and that is the duel on the Supremacy. Or that's not even a duel. The battle on the Supremacy. Mm-hmm. Is fantastic. And so I think those two, I can't really choose between them. It kind of just depends on the time of day. Because they're both so great. And also the Phantom Menace has the better soundtrack.
Oh gosh, yes. Phantom Menace has one of my top three tracks in any Star Wars movie.
The Phantom Menace, I think, is some of John Williams' greatest work. I think John Williams is a great movie composer, but he falls into traps. When you're hearing a John Williams soundtrack, you know you're listening to a John Williams soundtrack.
He does tend to reuse himself.
But he tried different things when it came to The Phantom Menace, and I think it worked out really well for him.
Yeah, I would love to hear hints of some of those in The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
Just to bring it all one big circle.
I think I was reading about it on Tumblr that the celebration song at the end of The Phantom Menace is actually I can't remember if it's the Imperial March or the Emperor's theme, but there it's like a really upbeat version of like the children singing or like singing like I think it's the Emperor's. The Emperor does have a theme, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
now
like,
I'm gonna have to re-listen to that.
Yeah. Should maybe try to find that post because I thought it was really interesting that
it is
like the children's choir that plays at the very end that he did throw this in. Musical, like, we should probably do an entire episode on the soundtracks of the
everything.
Star Wars movie. of the Star Wars movies specifically. I mean, we could do for other movies, but that would be an entirely different
movies, not one in particular.
Yeah. But yeah, so like The Phantom Menace has a lot of stuff going for it, and I think the prequels in general, they're ambitious, like, in terms of the world building.
Yes. They gave us a lot of things we never, would have never even considered.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people like to joke about, you know, oh, the politics in the prequels. I don't know if they were done in the correct way, because it was, and I've talked about this before, it's hard to put hard politics into a what George Lucas was calling a kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that stuff to be super interesting.
Yeah, I actually really like the politics. I think maybe even taking one step further, five steps further into the political world would have helped a bit.
Yeah, I think that the prequels have a bit of an identity problem.
Yeah, they didn't quite know what they were. But what I haven't said yet is I will forgive the prequels everything because they gave us Clone Wars.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's how I start every conversation about the prequels. We've made it like 16 minutes in and I hadn't said it yet. So I feel like I had to. But the Clone Wars took a lot of those hints of the political situation and expanded on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think one of the other things about why things have softened towards the prequels is that it has been 20 years.
Yes, it's time.
You and I both have, we've never felt any malice towards Return of the Jedi because that's the first one we remember watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have a problem with the Ewoks when we were growing up because when you're, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, Ewoks are fucking cute. And
I still love Ewoks.
Ewoks are great. And I still have to try to get that baby nippet puff. It, by the same token, people who were kids when The Phantom Menace came out, they didn't know they were supposed to hate Jar Jar.
Right, and those kids who grew up not hating Jar Jar are adults now.
Exactly. And so they have all of these soft feelings for when they were kids. Now, it doesn't go across the board. I work with a lot of people who are younger than I am. And one of the people I'm closer to at work is 23, I think. So, a fair few number years younger than me. And So he would have been in that kind of group that would have grown up with the prequels, and he still fucking hates them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and...
You can't please everyone.
Exactly. And there, it is, I think, still part of the... There is still vitriol thrown at the prequels. So I think a lot of people who dislike them, I think maybe they need to take another look at them in a more relaxed mindset.
Agreed.
They're not great. I mean, they're... I mean, I know we're talking about how...
Not as bad as people say they are.
They are not.
But no, they're not great.
I think we can own up to what the flaws are in it without hating them. My biggest flaw with them has always been the fact that George Lucas had no one telling him no on anything.
Yeah, he just needed an editor.
Exactly.
A lot of editors. But I also think what helps the prequels is all the extra material we've gotten about them since.
Yes.
I mean, even recently with Master and Apprentice. Coming out.
I have to admit, I still haven't read Master and Apprentice. I've been so busy that I've had it sitting.
And I was right with you when you bought it.
I know. I was so excited, and I started reading it, and then I put it. It's been sitting on the side of my bed for the last couple of months, and I keep on meaning to pick it up again. And I'm
we can't be friends anymore.
Oh, no.
But no, in the past few months, since April, yes. So the past 4 months, we've had Master and Apprentice, which is an Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon story from before Phantom Menace. We've had Dooku Jedi Lost.
Yes.
The audio drama.
Which is going to be coming out in script format.
Oh, thank goodness. I love the audiobook. Don't get me wrong on that one. I just have a very hard time focusing on audio, so I'm looking forward to being able to read it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are like that. I mean, before Master and Apprentice, we also had Queen's Shadow.
We had Queen's Shadow, so we've had a lot recently.
Yeah, and I think part of that probably comes from the fact that it was the 20th anniversary, and there was kind of this revisiting of the prequels in that time. And I'm excited. I like it.
Me too. I'm loving getting more.
Yeah. I have always had a problem with the fact they love to focus on the years between A New Hope and Return of the Jedi, because there's only like 3.5 years, and they pack those years. I mean, granted, I mean, that's the years of a war. A lot of stuff is going on, but they pack it so full that it's like, okay, so what were Han, Luke, and Leia doing in this minute? The prequel era has always been a little more of an enigma. And there's so much stuff to cover because, I mean, okay, the era during the original Star Wars movies was a war, but the prequels are where the Empire was formed and everything fell. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff to cover there.
There is a lot of time to cover there, because not only is there the time leading up to The Phantom Menace, there's also the time between that and Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
That we get almost nothing.
10 years, right?
Yeah.
Enough time for Anakin to turn into Hayden Christensen.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I will forever be Hayden Christensen's champion. He is my hometown boy. So, and I don't think he did too badly in the prequels. When you look at everybody who is in the prequels, you have some really heavy-hitting actors who turned in some pretty lousy performances.
Yeah.
It's always been pretty hip to bash on poor Hayden. And I remember when we did the Building a Better Prequel podcast, both Roan and Emma were saying, recast Hayden. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have gone that far, because I think he probably could have, under better leadership, given a better performance.
Yeah, better dialogue wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he was bad at all. I just don't think he was given great stuff to work with.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird because, like, the prequels, there's a lot of stuff you can say about them, but it's trying to sort everything out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot there.
Yeah, there really is. I have always been interested in the Jedi, and the Jedi at that time were probably their most interesting because things are most interesting, like, right before they fall.
Agreed. We didn't really get to see what led them there. We sort of did, but not directly.
And I know a lot of people had a problem with the way the Jedi were portrayed. But actually, I think it works that way. Because, yes, they do come off as pretty bad in some ways because of what they, you know, kind of do to Anakin and their whole ethos. But that's kind of the point, that they have to almost destroy themselves from within before the Emperor is able to destroy them.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'd like to see more of.
Yes.
Is what they were like before that. Because we hear about them being protectors and diplomats and a force for good.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. I was trying to come up with a better way of saying it. I almost never mean the puns that come out of my mouth.
That's what makes them great.
I know. But see, and now you made me lose my train of thought.
I'm sorry. You were talking about the seeing the Jedi before they had been corrupted.
Right. We will never see it on screen, obviously.
Yes.
But as we get more and more extra materials, I'm really hoping that we'll get to see a little bit of the... Saying a build to a fall sounds wrong, but what built up to bring them to the place we saw them in The Phantom Menace?
That makes sense. Which I have not actually listened to Jedi Lost yet, which, oh my god, like, I should be flayed for not having done that yet. Does it get into... anything about, like, the... I'm guessing it should probably address a bit of the Jedi, like, why Dooku would have left the Jedi.
A bit. It's very much focused on Dooku, though.
Yeah.
And I admit that I'm sure I missed parts of it just because, like I said, I have a hard time focusing on audios.
Yeah.
So once the script book comes out, I'll have a much better ability to pay attention to it.
Yeah. I really need to get a copy of it, because that might actually be something that I can listen to at work.
Okay.
Yeah. What actually led to the Jedi completely falling is definitely something that I would like to get more of. And as I said when we talked about Queen Shadow, I like the politics. I like the politics when it's done, when they lean into it, because part of the problem with the prequels is that they dipped their toe in with it, but didn't quite know what they wanted to do with it, so it kind of felt a little bit out of place.
Yeah, they wanted to get into the political situation, the political atmosphere.
Yeah.
But they, I don't know if they were afraid of pushing people away by talking about politics too much, or if they just didn't realize it.
I think maybe it was partially because it was trapped within a Star Wars movie, and back in those days, the Star Wars movies were very specific things. It's only been with the release of, like, Rogue One and Solo that they've kind of accepted that the Star Wars movies don't have to be exactly of formulaic. And so I think they were getting into political stuff, and then it's like, uh-oh, we haven't had a space battle in 10 minutes. Like, we gotta do something exciting now.
Right. They suddenly remembered that there's supposed to be a science fiction fantasy movie. But some of the best sci-fi fantasies have been about politics.
Yeah. I think we could get more into that kind of stuff with some of the Disney Plus series, because you know that we know the Disney Plus series that they are coming out with now, but they're gonna do more. So, I mean, we probably won't get, you know, like, Natalie Portman playing young Queen Amidala, obviously.
And probably not.
But they can probably play in that sandbox somewhere.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of space for them to do some very interesting stories. But yeah, so away from politics, because, you know, as interesting as it is, there just isn't a lot to talk about with it.
Yeah, that is very true. But I mean, like, the interpersonal relationships of the characters are... I would say that the prequels better build relationships between characters. I think in the original movies that we just kind of accept that these characters are... We accept the relationships of the characters very easily.
Right.
because they're, if you actually look at the original Star Wars movies, they're less characters and more archetypes.
That's true.
Like, I remember, there's a reason why it's Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, and Princess Leia. For years, nobody ever used Leia's last name.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and I'm actually trying to think of how often it's actually used in the original movies.
I don't know.
I don't think that it's used. I think it's maybe used once, but it's not used a lot.
Okay.
And that, for me, has always been, like, a pet peeve. When characters' last names, you know they exist, but they never use them.
That is true. That's very true.
In, like, The Empire Strikes Back, we accept that Han and Leia are now a couple. Because they end up kissing. And Luke and Han, they have a few lines where it's like, ah, oh, buddy.
They're friends because we're told that they are.
Exactly. And people can make fun of the stilted dialogue and how uncomfortable the chemistry was between Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen. But they really tried. They really tried to show this romance building up between Anakin and Padme.
At least on Anakin's side.
At least on Anakin's side, yeah.
Sorry, had to say it.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It was, they definitely try to let us see the relationships developing.
Yeah.
Rather than going, here, look, now they're together.
Yeah. I think the one bit that I would have liked to have seen more of would be between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
I was just thinking that, and that's where the Clone Wars really gave us a lot.
Yeah. Because there is that line in Revenge of the Sith where Obi-Wan is, you are my brother. And it's like, bitch, when? Because we don't see them together. Like, we see, like, little bits of them in the beginning of Attack of the Clones and a little bit in the beginning of Revenge of the Sith. But for the most part, they're not together during the movies. Like, they don't meet until the very end of The Phantom Menace. And right. And they go their separate ways in Attack of the Clones. They can both do their separate storylines. And by Revenge of the Sith, Anakin's going on the fall, which, as you said, is where the Clone Wars really kicks in and, you know, helps us, you know, fill that relationship.
Yeah, we see them argue a lot in the movies.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, some brothers are like that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But it doesn't give us enough to justify that line.
Yeah.
Clone Wars did. And I can only imagine what was cut from the movies that would have given us enough for You Were My Brother.
Yeah.
Because the Clone Wars didn't exist then.
That is very true. Another thing I do have to give the prequels is that I think the casting was actually really fantastic. Basically across the board. Like, the execution might not have been perfect, but I freaking love Ewan McGregor as our live-action young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh gosh, yes. There's a reason that everyone wants an Obi-Wan movie.
Or Disney Plus series, whichever they want to do.
More Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
I don't care how they give it to us. It's the one thing in Star Wars everyone agrees on.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a very polarizing fandom.
Yes, this is. And yeah, that is definitely something that everyone agrees on. And I think, and this is no shade on Alec Guinness, I think that Ewan McGregor has replaced the image of Alec Guinness as live-action Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't think that's really shady on Alec Guinness, because Alec Guinness freaking hated being equated to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, that he did. But in fairness also, Ewan McGregor has a lot more screen time than Alec Guinness did.
That is true. And has always been a lot more enthusiastic about Star Wars, too.
Yes. I mean, he has said he would do more.
Yeah.
The man has played with lightsabers on interviews.
And I loved Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon. I think he was a good choice. Natalie and Hayden, I can see them being the parents of Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problem visually with either of them. Yeah. I don't have a problem with them anyway, but
yeah.
But visually, yeah, I can totally see it.
And also, I really liked Jimmy Smith's as Bail Organa. Like, we don't get a lot of him, but I like the casting. And we did get more in the stuff that was deleted. That will always be my biggest prequel regret, is that they cut out the forming of the Rebellion in Revenge of the Sith, because that stuff was really interesting. And also the casting of young Mon Mothma, who I can't remember the name of the actress at the moment.
Oh, and I know it too. It's, because she reprised it for Rogue One.
Yes, Genevieve O'Reilly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the things that were cut from the prequels are almost better than some of the stuff that was left in.
Which is one of the reasons why the prequels are such a rich vein of fan edits. People love making fan edits of them, and I've seen ones that I think are the reason why I came back around on the prequels. Because it's like, oh, so there is an interesting movie in here. It's just not the movie that I saw. Which is why I think that the biggest thing that needed to be changed about the prequels is that George Lucas needed a second pair of eyes on things.
I kind of want to see prequel extended editions the way Lord of the Rings did now.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be interesting.
I think it would be fun.
I think that wouldn't be too hard to do.
No, me neither.
I wonder if they actually exist out there. I'll have to go look.
Ah, if you find them, please send me a link.
Yeah, most of the versions, most fan edits that I see are actually shorter. They try to cut out the stuff that people didn't like.
Gotcha. I really do like most of what's on the screen. Really do. Although I'm amused that both of us are kind of inching around the Jar Jar problem. Because I didn't hate him, but I didn't love him.
It's the same for me. I have come around on Jar Jar ever since Aftermath, the scene in, it's Empire's End that his scene appears, right?
I don't remember if it was Empire's End or Life Debt.
Yeah, it was one of them, but
it was one of the ones that wasn't the first Aftermath book.
Yeah, but that scene really kind of reframed Jar Jar for me. Even back in the days when I first saw The Phantom Menace and I liked it, Jar Jar, I never cared for Jar Jar, but I never hated him.
Exactly.
He made me roll my eyes. I think he became an easy target for all of the woes. And, like, people complain about stuff in all of the prequel movies, but Jar Jar's really not in Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith. And when he is in them, it's certainly not doing the same stuff that he did in The Phantom Menace.
No, and you know, rewatching it in the past, trying to remember when I rewatched Phantom Menace last, sometime within the past 6 months, I really didn't hate him. I thought he was kind of adorably charming at times.
There's some stuff that just needs to go, like the fart and the poop jokes are just silly.
Yeah, but that was geared for kids.
Yeah. He does have, like, a complete arc in The Phantom Menace. He's, you know, an outcast in the Gungan society, and by the end of it, he's a war hero.
Right.
And that was another thing that came up at Star Wars Celebration, is just how supportive people were of Ahmed Best.
I think in the past 20 years, people have figured out that they can separate the character from the actor.
Exactly.
Which is an important distinction that wasn't made 20 years ago.
Yeah. Part of it might stem from the changes in the internet. The fact that back when The Phantom Menace came out, if actors were on the internet, you didn't really know about it. Now we have the social media where you can have, like, a direct link to actors. So it kind of cuts both ways, where people will get into flame wars with actors, but then also it humanizes them. So Ahmed Best doesn't just seem like the guy that ruined Star Wars, but he seems like an actual guy who was very hurt by everything that people said about him. And actually, he has said that he, like, contemplated suicide because mm-hmm. of the vitriol
the response.
That was thrown at him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will about the character. He put a lot into that performance.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, like, because he was there on set doing all of that physical stuff that mm-hmm. they just, you know, CGI'd the character on top of him. He was doing Andy Serkis stuff before Andy Serkis was.
Yep, I was just thinking he was Gollum. But seeing the response he got at Celebration was one of the most beautiful things I've seen in Star Wars.
Yeah. It is, I think, very important for us to do that kind of stuff for the actors. Certainly the reaction to Jake Lloyd has not been as happy, because Jake Lloyd, he was a kid at the time, and the Star Wars movies have been ruined for him by the mm-hmm. reaction that people had to him.
He hasn't gotten the chance to get the reception.
Yeah.
That at best has gotten.
He has gone to conventions. I remember seeing him a couple of times when I was still doing comics, that Jake Lloyd was a guest there. And that's actually how I realized that young people really liked the prequels, because okay. there would be huge lines for him huh. of all kids, because they grew up on the prequels and didn't know that they were supposed to hate it. By the way, I'm making sarcastic air quotes when I said that. But I think that just because, you know, he was young at the time, I think that there are some scars that stay with you when mm-hmm. you're developing like that. And Ahmed Best was thankfully a grown person and was able to process everything that was going on and come through it better.
Which is not an excuse to treat people yes. the way he was treated.
Yeah, no. Definitely.
I know all of our listeners know that, but yeah. I still feel the need to say it.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I could never do that myself. Like, I mean, like, there are characters that I don't like, but I've never, ever sent a message to an actor about something that they did that I didn't like. Like,
I've never even thought about sending a message.
Neither have I. Like, yeah.
I mean, if I don't like something, I just ignore it.
Yeah.
But that's a whole episode unto itself, I think. Yeah. And not on this show.
Yeah.
So I know there's other things to cover about the prequels, but not that I can think of what any of them are right now.
Yeah.
No, I know, because I really do enjoy them.
Yeah.
And I think, I think at least right now what I'm enjoying about them is that it's not a current fandom.
That's understandable, yeah.
That I can go back to fanfic that was written 15 years ago and not have to deal with some of the things that are being focused on in fanfic right now. It's done, it's over, no one's commenting anymore, I can read in peace.
I love me a closed canon.
And it's not a closed canon.
Well,
it's just an old canon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is closed in that we know how it concludes.
Right, but there's a whole middle.
Well, yeah.
And there's not really a beginning. I mean, there sort of is if you're talking about Anakin's story. But fair. There's not really a beginning. There's just a closed ending.
Yeah.
So it's a Rey canon? R-A-Y, not R-E-Y.
Yeah.
Sorry, math dork. But yeah, a half-closed canon.
I am looking forward to the end of the current trilogy, to The Rise of Skywalker coming out, because we're going to be getting Star Wars immediately afterwards. So I'm hoping that people will lighten up on that. And I mean, I'm not saying that I want people to hate the next thing that comes out, but something for Star Wars is going to be coming out by the guys who did Game of Thrones, so I know that there's going to be people who hate on it. So maybe people will lighten up on the sequel trilogy then too.
It's not going to happen. I hope you're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even now there are still people who bash on the prequels. But I remember very clearly being in line at Star Wars Celebration, and there was somebody standing in front of me who was talking about the prequels and being very, talking about how much he liked the prequels, and said, at the very least, they're not the sequels.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I think I mentioned this when we did the podcast for the convention, but I tended to stand behind a lot of people who really hated the sequels.
Yeah, you did. I don't know if I just managed to avoid those people, or if the whole I ignore things that I don't like works for people also.
That might have been that you might have been distracted by other things that, you know.
Or I hear someone start to bash on the sequels and just keep on moving.
Yeah. Meanwhile, me, I'm just like, what are you saying? You say that again.
I will argue, but it's not my first instinct, generally.
Oh, I didn't say anything to them. That was all going on in my head. I was having arguments in my head with people that I was not speaking to.
Oh, no, if I have that full argument in my head, it's coming out of my mouth, too. It's better for me just not to start.
Fair.
Because despite seeming, you know, calm and nice and normal, I really do like to argue. So, hi, if anyone wants to argue about the prequels with me, I'm right here.
The prequels gave us some great stuff. They gave us the Clone Wars.
Oh,
that's
still my favorite of all Star Wars.
That's going to be, like, number one with a bullet. That is the thing that the prequels gave us. It gave us some really interesting story that we can examine further.
It gave us Qui-Gon.
It gave us a great soundtrack, and it gave us the greatest battle. One of the greatest lightsaber battles in Star Wars.
It gave us Bail Organa.
It gave us, I think, it gave us a lot of things that we have to, you know, that are beloved in the fandom. And I think that people just need to recognize where they came from.
And that there's a lot more positives that came out of the prequels than negatives.
There is. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. And I think that's where it's turning. I think a lot of people are realizing this. They might not
know it yet.
Yeah, they might not go into all of the details about why, but I think that at this point the prequels are just kind of part of the thing that people love. It's part of the saga.
Yeah, part of the Star Wars lore that people enjoy. And I think given time, people will enjoy it more.
Yeah.
And more people will enjoy it. Oh, you know what else the prequels gave us?
What did they give us?
That I completely forgot. Darth Maul.
Darth?
We managed to get through 53 minutes and neither of us mentioned Darth Maul.
I feel like he's so obvious that that's why we didn't mention him. Because no matter when everybody had bashed on the prequels, Darth Maul was always the thing that they pointed out was something badass. And their only problem with Darth Maul is that he died too soon. But only in the prequels. Obviously, we've discovered now that he did not die then. But yeah, no, Darth Maul is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, he really is. Really, really is. And I'm not a bad guy person. He is, I want to say one of the only, but he might be the only bad guy. No, one of the only, because I also like Thrawn.
Yeah. In The Phantom Menace, he is awesome because, and it ties to the best lightsaber duel, in that Ray Park is so good at what he does.
Yeah, if you ever want some solid entertainment, just watch the videos on his Instagram for a while.
Yeah.
And don't forget to go to sleep.
Yeah. And the character design, fantastic. I love the look of him. And there was so much potential for him that when they brought him over into Clone Wars and Rebels, that by the end of Rebels, his status as a bad guy is really kind of
questionable.
Yeah.
Yep. And are we spoiling Rebels? Are we spoiling that? If you haven't seen Rebels,
it's been out for like a year.
Come back in like 90 seconds or something. All right, pausing. Okay. I assume if you're still listening, you're okay being spoiled or you know what happened. Darth Maul's death on Rebels broke my heart.
Beautiful.
It was, and like I said, I don't like bad guys. That is one of the few moments that I have almost cried on that show. I cried, sort of cried, more for Darth Maul's death than Kanan's. And I don't know if that was just 20 years of buildup or if it was just the way he... It might have been Obi-Wan also, now that I think about it. But Darth Maul's story from Phantom Menace to Rebels was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard, seen, not heard.
I think it spoke so much of the true spirit of the Jedi and Force users in that these two men that when we're first introduced to them hate each other and one of them kills, you know, one of them cuts the other one in half, that in that moment of Darth Maul's death, Obi-Wan can embrace him and let him die in peace, knowing that the Emperor is going to be brought down.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful, and there's a spirituality to it, and there's a completion of this character who was basically in The Phantom Menace to be a cool lightsaber user.
And to look awesome.
Yes.
And I think it also goes back to what we said earlier about hearing about what the Jedi were like. With that moment, we got to see it.
Yeah.
That Obi-Wan was that old Jedi that we heard about.
Exactly. I think Obi-Wan is the truest representation of the Jedi, which is what makes him the perfect teacher for Luke, eventually. Mm-hmm. That the Jedi die off except for this one person who represents the true spirit of the Jedi, and he is the one to be able to carry things on.
All because of Darth Maul. All right, so now are we forgetting anything about the prequels? Other than I kind of want to go back and watch them again.
I think that is a great way for people to look at things, to listen to this podcast and be like, oh, do you know what? I think I want to go rewatch the prequels. That's the best thing that can come out of doing this.
Yeah.
Go back and watch them with new eyes.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that brings us to the end of the podcast for this month. So, yeah. Go and watch the prequels, and may the Force be with you.
So long.